Now turn to the portion of the Word of God which we read, the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, John chapter 16, and we can read from verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? And seeking the Lord's blessing this evening, I want to concentrate particular attention on the words of verse 31. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Here's a question that the Lord Jesus asked those who were professing to be his disciples, his followers, those who had been privileged to hear the words of the divine Savior, the words of the one of whom even his enemies had to acknowledge that never man spake like this man. One who, when he spoke with real power and conviction. One who spoke with real divine authority. And so, friends, as Christ spoke other words, as we see them in the surrounding portions of this chapter and that which precedes it, so too, when the Savior posed this question, he did so with real conviction. He did so with real authority. Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? You see, here is something very important. Here is a subject that Christ would draw our attention to, we believe, this evening through the preached word, as he drew the attention of his disciples on this occasion to it. Do ye now believe? That's the great question that we should ask ourselves, as it were, almost every day of our lives in this world. Do I believe in Christ? Because, you see, so many other questions and other thoughts are attached to this. Do I believe in Christ to the saving of my soul? Do I believe in Christ and so have a hope in view of the endless world of eternity? Do I believe in Christ and so have the hope that my sins are forgiven me for Jesus' sake? Oh yes, this was a very serious, serious question that the divine Savior posed. Do ye now believe? You see, this is the question to us here then this evening. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? And that's our subject then this evening, a serious question from the Savior of sinners. A serious question from the Savior of sinners. Do ye now believe? Now, this was a serious question. And we see it was a serious question, friends, because, and we will note three reasons why. The first is that it was a serious question because it came from the lips of Christ. Jesus, we read in our text, answered them. He is the speaker. He is the person who answered them in this way. He is the person who posed this question. Well, friends, surely this is a serious question when it came from the lips of Christ. This is a serious question, secondly, because it concentrated on an important subject. Do ye now believe? The subject of faith. The subject of faith, a vastly important subject. And not any kind of faith, but faith in Christ. Do ye now believe in me? That's what you're professing. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. There they were. They're professing to believe in Christ. They're professing to believe certain things about the Lord Jesus. And Christ answers them in this way, Do ye now believe? Is it true? Is it real? Is it going to last? Is it the real thing? Is it faith in myself? Do ye now believe? This is an important subject, faith in Christ. And thirdly and lastly, we will note that this was a serious question because it challenged their confidence. There they were. They are saying, by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. We are not like other people. We have a faith in thyself, they are saying. We are walking in newness of life. And so the Savior answers them, do ye now believe? Are you sure? Are you certain about this matter? It is so important. It is so significant. Do ye now believe? You see, it is a challenge. A challenge to these disciples. Well, firstly, we see that this was a serious question indeed because it came from the lips of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Well, friends, what a wealth of wonder is in these words, even these words themselves of the pen of the inspired Apostle John. Jesus answered. Friends, that is a wonderful, wonderful truth itself. Jesus answered. When we think of the significance of this person, when we think of how important this person was and still is in the history of this world, Jesus answered them. Who are we talking about here? We're not talking about a mere man. Here we are talking about the divine Savior. Jesus answered them, thou shalt call his name Jesus, it was foretold, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here we are reading these words, Jesus answered them. And who does this refer to but the one that the Father himself referred to there in the Gospel according to Matthew, for example, and at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we read, and lo, verse 17 of chapter 3 in Matthew, a voice. Where is that voice coming from? A voice from heaven. And what is that voice saying? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And who is it saying of but Jesus? Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying of the Lord Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Yes, it is the same Jesus, friends. It's not a different Jesus. It's not a different Christ. Jesus answered and said to them, do you now believe? Do you now believe? The person of whom the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Yes. And not once, but twice at least. We have that testimony from heaven concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We read again there in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 17 concerning the Mount of Transfiguration, as it is called, when the Lord Jesus revealed something of the divine glory that was his, such as the disciples were able to see, although even then they fell upon their faces. And we read there concerning the Lord Jesus, while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There's another precious word. Hear ye him. Well then, friends, hear ye him as he says, do ye now believe? It's the same Jesus. It's the same Christ, it's the same person who is the Son of the Father in truth and in love, who is a most precious and glorious person indeed, who is the God-man Redeemer, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and who does that refer to but the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, this is a great truth. Jesus answered them because It is a word from the Savior, a word from Christ himself. The person who speaks here is a person of real authority, the Son of God. Oh, how we should view all of the sayings of Christ, as did even the enemies of Christ. Never man spake like this man. How we should say this word, although it is short, do ye now believe? Yet it is precious because it is a word from Christ. And therefore it is seriously to be weighed. It's a weighty word. Even in our dealings in this world, we place weight upon people who are trustworthy, people who are weighty in character and dignity. We tend to say that is the word of a trustworthy person, that is the word of someone who is a person of real authority and dignity. I must at least consider what this person has to say. Now, children, supposing the Queen was to visit Auckland, and supposing you were privileged to meet the Queen, oh, would you not think and long remember what the Queen would say to you, little children? Oh, would you not remember? But the Queen said, why? Because she's the Queen. She wears the crown. She's a person of real authority. You say, I remember what she said. Perhaps you'd be able to tell me, even 20 years from now, even 20 years later, you'd be able to say, oh, I remember what she said, because I was so impressed by the dignity of her person. I was so impressed that I could not forget what she said. Oh, and if she asked you a question, would you not be ready to listen and to think, I must consider this question. I must think before I speak. I must think before I respond. I must think as to what she is saying so that I may respond appropriately. Do ye now believe, says Christ? Oh, friend, hear it this night, not just from me, as it were, as a preacher of Christ, but from Christ through the preacher, through the ministry of the word, Jesus saying, do ye now believe? That is what he said to them. Is it not true that is what he is saying to you in the ministry of the word tonight? For yourself, do you now believe? Do you now believe in me? Yes, do you now believe? Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Is it not sad, friends, that we have not believed thus far, perhaps? Is it not sad that the Savior had to fix this upon their conscience, as it were? Do ye now believe? Are you sure? Are you certain about this matter? Are you sure of these things? Well, Jesus answered them, a person of real standing, a person of real dignity, a person of real authority. And let us just remind ourselves of the authority of Christ from the very word of God itself. For we read there, for example, at the end of that portion known as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, the closing verses, that it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. One who presently at that time had authority. And what wonderful things he said. Wonderful things he said there in that portion of the scripture. Some of them are read this morning by the minister. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for example, for they shall obtain mercy. You see what wonderful words the Lord Jesus spoke. Lay not up for yourselves, he said, treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, here is a person of real significance, real authority. Here he is speaking about heaven. Therefore, we must embrace the reality that there's a heaven. We know that the Lord Jesus spoke about hell. Therefore, we must embrace the reality that there's a hell. Christ spoke upon serious subjects, and he spoke upon them with serious conviction and serious authority. Serious authority. Notice that portion there in chapter 8 of the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 8, where the Savior heals the servant of the centurion. Remember that man who came to him and said, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Oh, what significance that man was placing upon the word of Christ. He was saying, was he not, "Where the word of a king is, there is power, there is real power." "Yes, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For," he said, "I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Well, there is a person, you see, who recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is significant indeed because, you see, here was a person who was a centurion, an officer in the army of Rome. And those who have studied it, and those who know the history of this empire of Rome and the army of Rome, they know that was a most disciplined organization. Rome worked by authority. And here was one of its officers. Here was one who was a soldier himself. And even the children know, surely, when a person becomes a soldier, the first lesson they must learn is to respect authority. Respect authority. May not have respected it in the home. They may not have respected it at school. But as soon as they enter the armed forces, they must recognize authority and respect it. Well, here's the centurion. "Speak the word only. I am a man who knows about authority. I'm under authority. I'm also got some authority. I say to this one, do this and do that, and he does it." What is he saying? And he's saying it to you, and he's saying it to me. I am a man who knows what authority is, and I know and see authority in Christ. That's what he's saying down through the ages. This is a person of real standing, real authority. Well then, it is the same Jesus. It is the same person who said here, "Do ye now believe?" Oh friends, we dare not say this question is insignificant any more than those to whom it was first addressed. Surely they could not say, "This question is not serious. This question is not something that I need to think about." Surely they must say, "Christ is speaking. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he is asking me this question." Each one of them could well have said, "Do ye now believe? I've got to think about this. I've got to seriously consider what this person is saying." Well then, friends, do ye now believe, says Christ? Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? What real authority? And you see, here's the point. If this was a question from Christ to them, should you not ask yourself the question, is this a question from Christ to me? Do you now believe? You see, here he is saying, and they are saying, "We now believe. We've heard so much, and we've heard that which has really convicted us, and we've heard that which has made a real impression upon us." And the Lord Jesus says, "You're saying all of these things, but do you now believe? I'm saying this back to you. Do you now believe? You see, by way of application, how much we have heard even at this communion season from the Lord's servants, words of Scripture read, portions of the Word expounded to us, Christ's name mentioned in our hearing, the suitability of Christ as a Savior set before us. Do ye now believe? We've been privileged to witness the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. Do ye now believe? And friends, it's not just me that's saying that. It is the Savior that's saying that. Lord Jesus is saying, even at this communion season, and indeed for many of us, much more than that, I have given you my ministers to preach my word. Do ye now believe? I have fastened upon some of you serious convictions of sin. Do ye now believe? I have permitted some of you, although ye be sinners indeed and unworthy of the great privilege to witness my people sit at my table, to witness the symbols of my broken body and my shed blood. I have privileged you with that. Do you now believe in me to the saving of your soul? Do you now believe? It's a person of real authority who's saying that. Well, in the second place, we see that this was a serious question because it dealt with a serious subject. Do you now believe? Jesus answered them. We've said much about the person. We could say much more. But we've said we believe sufficient to fix upon your attention the weight, the significance of anything that he would have said, whether it was by way of commendation, or whether it was by way of conviction, whether it was a question, or whether it was a statement, whatever he would have said, it would have been really valuable and precious and weighty. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe?" He fixed upon the subject that they had fixed upon. We believe that thou camest forth from God. We have faith. We have some degree of belief that thou art not a mere man. We have some degree of belief that thou art the Messiah. We have some degree of belief that thou art a special person indeed, and significant person. The Lord Jesus says, "Do ye now believe?" He keeps them there upon that subject of faith. That subject that is so important, friends. The subject of faith. You see, the Lord Jesus did not say to them, "Have you heard precious things?" They might have said, "Yes, we have heard great things indeed, wonderful things." The Lord Jesus did not say to them, "Have you been impressed with the things that you have heard from my lips?" They could have easily said, "Yes, we've been most impressed." He said, "Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? For yourself, do you have faith in me for yourself? Are you sure about these things? Are you really convinced? Or is it just words? We believe that thou camest forth from God. Do you? Do you truly? Do you really?" Yes. What a serious subject the subject of faith is. Do ye now believe? We see and we get some impression of the deep importance of faith, of course, from various portions of Scripture. Not least the portions and places where the Lord Jesus speaks of faith in himself and the vast importance of it. But also, for example, there in the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 11, where again and again we read of that word faith. You see, we're not going to read the chapter there in Hebrews chapter 11. If we want to, we can read it at home. Most of us perhaps are familiar with it. But there is one thing, even from a cursory reading of this chapter, how often this word faith is mentioned. And surely we must say, not just here, but throughout the Word of God, we must say, even to an honest view, as it were, faith is important. Faith is something that goes down through the ages, even from Abel and Noah and Abraham. Faith is something that should be in the life of the Lord's people. We can deduce these things, even from Hebrews 11. Do ye now believe, says Christ? How Scripture, it fits so well with Scripture. Faith is the substance we read. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here's the definition of faith from the Scriptures, Hebrews 11 verse 1. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? By faith. By faith. And then there's this unusual twist when we come to verse 6. From the positive we go to the negative. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's the importance of faith. Without it, we cannot please God. What is the first answer in the catechism? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's the chief end of man. That's the main purpose for which you are in this world and I'm in this world. See these windows in this building. What is their chief purpose? There we have one. Window open at the back. And that's not its chief purpose. The chief purpose of these windows is to let light into this building. The secondary purpose, to let air on a hot day. But the chief end is to let in the light. That's the chief end. And the chief end of man is to glorify God. Oh, you say, how I come short. How I come short in this regard. How I stand in need of a Savior. How I stand in need of a mediator. Well, do ye now believe, says Christ? Do you believe in me to the saving of your souls? He is talking about faith and the importance of it. Again, we read of the importance of faith in the epistle of Paul to the Romans. In chapter 4, towards the end, we read about Abram. He staggered not, we read verse 20, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we, what? If we believe, if we have faith, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way the Bible tells us that a sinner may be justified, that is, right and proper in the sight of God, by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is what Paul is saying to the believers in Rome. This is my hope. As a poor sinner, this is my hope for peace with God. This is, I believe, your hope too. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Yes, a vastly important subject, faith. One more reference before we move on. back to Hebrews again, where we read there in that epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 3, and closing verses there, the vast importance of faith and the great danger of that which is not faith, unbelief, regarding Israel of old. So we see, said the apostle, wrote the apostle, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. He is referring back to the history of Israel. They could not enter into the land of promise at the first, those who had come out of Egypt, largely speaking, because of unbelief. And then he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. How? By unbelief. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Not be mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now friends, what use are we to make of that just in the passing? We are surely not to say, oh, well, if the word of God is going to be mixed with faith in my heart, that is of God, how true that is. But I'm not going to ask for that. I'm not going to plead with God that would be so. I'm just going to wait, and if God works, mix the word with faith in my heart, that'll be good. And if not, well, what can be done? No, the use we are to make of that text is, when we are warned about others who believed not because the word was not mixed with faith in them that heard it, Lord, mix thy word with faith in my heart. That is our prayer. That is our responsibility, surely, to cry to the Lord, to mix his word with faith in us. When we see the solemn end of those who were not so blessed, oh, let us therefore fear. Let us be stirred up. Let us not be dead and cold and carnal and indifferent. And so too here, Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Probing, questioning. Why? Because the subject is so important. And what is the faith but faith in himself? We believe that thou camest forth from God. Do ye now believe? You believe things about me? Do you? You have had certain impressions seriously fixed upon your conscience concerning myself, but do you now believe? Do you now believe in me? Are you truly my disciples? Are you truly trusting in me? Do you now believe? Yes, the Savior does not pass over the subject as though it were unimportant. Yes, how carelessly some can view the subject in our day. Sometimes you hear of organizations, and I've had it myself. Someone said recently to me, all our staff are Christians. All our staff are Christians. All our staff are believers. Are we sure about these things? Christ probed. Do you now believe? Do you now believe in me? A person of real weight, a subject of real value, seriousness and importance. Because without faith, let's remember, it cannot please God. Without faith in Christ, we are not united to Christ. If we are not united to Christ, we do not partake of his benefits. The benefits of the redemption purchased by Christ. It is by faith, by that seemingly weak and insignificant instrument, God has ordained. Just as when the Israelites of old, plagued with the plague of the fiery flying serpents, punished because of their sin, God ordained and raised up the brazen serpent. And God himself ordained that it was through faith in that object that they would be healed, and by no other means whatsoever. Whether they were near to it geographically, or whether they were at the other end of the camp, this was what was necessary. They must look. That's what they must do. Not lay hold on it with their hands. They must look to it with their eyes. That was God's ordinance. And so Christ, so these things speak to us of the Lord Jesus. So these things speak to us of the vast importance of faith in him. They looked to him, and lightened were, not shamed were their faces. This poor man cried, God heard, and saved him from all his distresses. What was the answer to the question? What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Exercise faith in Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, the Savior was not passing over the subject as something unimportant, as whether they believed or did not believe was not really significant at all. No, they must believe. They must believe. It's so important. Do ye now believe? He probes, he questions, because it is so important. Now you see, we might ask you the question, do you now believe? Maybe you would give me the answer. Minister, I know I should believe. I've been taught how important it is to believe in Christ. My sins are to be forgiven. Oh, I should believe. Ah, but that's not the answer, is it? Or you might say, if I would say to you, do you now believe? You've heard so much preaching at this communion. You've witnessed the Lord's Supper at this communion. Do you now believe for yourself in Christ? Well, minister, I hope I shall someday believe. Oh, friends, that's not enough. Do you now believe? There's the word now. Do you now believe? What was Christ speaking about? Next week? Next year? Next month? No, he's speaking about the present. Do you now believe? And that's where we are. And that's where we want to be. We're in the present. And this is the word of Christ to you. Do you now believe? You've heard my ministers preaching to you. You've heard the doctrines of grace and salvation. You've had my atoning death set before you this morning and other services. You've witnessed my people go to my table. Do you now believe? I'm not asking you. Do you know that you should believe? I'm not asking you. Do you hope to believe next year, next month, in a decade, on your deathbed? I'm asking you, do you now believe at this moment? Because that is what you should. You should believe. You should not delay. You should not put off this matter. Do you now believe right now, sitting there in your pew? Do you now believe? Do you now believe in me, the Divine Savior? Do you now believe in me for the forgiveness of your sin? Do you now believe in me so that you might have a good hope through grace? Do you now believe? Well, thirdly and lastly, this was a serious, serious question because it challenged, you see, their confidence. There they were. Now we are sure, they were saying, that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. We've had these impressions, you see. We've not been unmoved. We've been deeply impressed by what we've heard from your lips. And they might have expected to hear a commendation from Christ. And instead they got a challenge from Christ. Do you now believe? Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. He is now come that ye shall be scattered every one to his own. And shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Do you now believe? You see, he was challenging here their confidence. And you see, a question is a very, very, very way, very suitable way to lay down a challenge. Now, of course, friends, we don't like that. We naturally speaking, we don't like questions at times. We feel uncomfortable. We don't want to face certain things, so we avoid them. Christ says, do ye now believe? Because, you see, it was needy. It was needful. The Lord Jesus always spoke in love, and we must mind that. Although this was a challenge, it was a challenge born of love to their souls. Do ye now believe? That's what Christ said. It was a challenging question. Maybe it made them feel uncomfortable. Maybe it made them reflect and think upon what they had just said. We believe that thou camest forth from God. Do you now believe? You see, it can be uncomfortable to be asked a question. Only recently, the day I was coming to communion in the presbytery at a train station in Sydney, I spoke to some representatives of the Watchtower Society, also known as the Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called. They had a little stall with their literature, and we spoke, and of course they are very well versed in speaking and questioning themselves. One of the questions that I asked was, have you looked into the origins of the Watchtower Society? I'd asked other questions and we discussed other things. I just asked, have you looked into the origins of the Watchtower Society, the body that the man represented? He became uncomfortable and he was even a bit angry and upset. Why should I ask this question? He was uncomfortable. Wasn't comfortable on that subject. Simple question about the organization that he represented and its origins. Wasn't happy with that. Wasn't comfortable about that. Quite upset about that. You see, it was a challenge. Do you now believe is a challenge then? Do you now believe it's personal? It's important. The subject, friends, is so vastly important. Faith in Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith in Christ, we're not united to Christ. We have no interest in His saving benefits. It's a vastly important question. Do you now believe? Oh, friend, you've heard so much at this communion season and beyond. You've heard of Christ. You've heard of the tremendous importance of believing in Christ. You would acknowledge that Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You would acknowledge all of these things. You would acknowledge, friend, yes, I know I need to believe. I hope I shall believe. I hope one day I will believe. But do you now believe? What more is needed? Do you need more sermons? Do you need clearer expositions of the Word? Do you need more light upon Christ? Do you now believe? For yourself, that your sins would be forgiven. You would have a hope if you die tomorrow, in view of eternity. Do you now believe? That's it. Friends, it's so important to address this question. Young people, children, do you now believe? You say, Minister, you don't need to ask the children this question. Surely they can wait till they're old, make their minds up. Well, one of our ministers back in Scotland, when he was a young man with others at university, would knock on the doors, hand out tracts, Christian tracts, come to the doors of the university students. He would knock, they would hand the tracts, have a discussion, perhaps they wouldn't agree, they would take some literature, then they would go to the doors of older people. Sometimes they would slam the door in their face. Hardened, you see. Hardened and deadened. You see, that's how we can become. We can become so used to this desperate unbelief. When faith is mentioned and faith in Christ, we say, well, I can't believe, so I'm not going to even think about that. Well, because I can't believe. Who can sit under the gospel like that? So that when we hear about Jesus, oh yes, Jesus is, he shall save his people from their sins. Yes, I know that. But I'm not applying it to myself. Because I can't believe. I won't believe. I can't believe. When we hear about Christ and we hear about salvation, then eventually we become so hardened that these things simply wash over us. Wash over us. Have you ever been to the beach, children? Build sandcastles. Then the sea comes in. What happens? It washes them all down. All the grains just go flat again. You see, that's what can be so hard. Just washes over us. Yes, the minister speaking about faith in Christ. Well, that's something I've heard before. We don't even think about it. It's just automatic. Don't even think about it. And so you see, this is why it's valuable to have this question of Christ, because it really challenges us. Whether we're young or whether we're old, do you now believe in me? That's what he's saying. Do you now believe in me? I'm not asking, do you hope to believe in me someday? I'm not asking you, do you think that you should believe in me? I'm asking you, do you actually believe in me? You see, that's really challenging. And we may feel very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable indeed. Because it is something that really challenges us. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? And your question should be, by honest self-examination and reflection, have I now believed? I've heard so much of Christ at this communion. I've seen Christ's people go to his table. Have I believed? That's the honest answer, isn't it? We should be ready to reflect upon this. We heard from Mr. Hutton this morning. Self-examination is not just for the Friday of a communion season. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup, let him go in the spirit of self-examination. Well, we would add to it. So when the Lord's people have sat at the table, let them still examine themselves. Do I now believe? Let the unconverted in our midst examine themselves. Do I now believe? Because, friends, ultimately, we are answerable to Christ. Christ, whose word this ultimately is, do ye now believe? A weighty person indeed, a person of real significance. Real significance in the history of the world. Just think how significant Christ is. There was once a pastor persecuted last century by the communists. He was put in a prison cell. Some days they would treat him really harshly, leave him in the dark. Other days they would give him a light, bring food. They tried different methods to break him, break his attachment to Christ, break him so that he would break others, so that others, seeing that this pastor who had once preached to them is denying Christ, then the communists hoped, well, he will break others, many others, if only we can break him. And one day they were trying this method of, well, give him good things, show him all the benefits of communism, show him the benefits of denying Christ, as it were, in a fleshly way. Gave him a newspaper. And he said, oh, you've been trying to convince me, day after day after day, there is no Christ. You're saying in your atheistic way, there is no Jesus. Look at the date. Look at the date on this paper. The date. The very time itself, 2015 years AD, after Christ's coming. Is he not significant? And therefore, friends, is this word, this question from his lips on this vastly important subject of faith in himself, personal faith in himself, not serious and significant indeed? Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? Friends, what are the consequences of not? What are the consequences of going out that door content not believing in Christ? If ye believe not that I am he, that I am the Savior, that I am the one mediator between God and men, that I am the only way to the Father, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And what hope then? What hope then when we appear in judgment before Christ? Will he not say, I ask you on this evening of Auckland Communion season 2015 in January, I ask you, do you now believe? I asked you. You gave no reply. But this unbelief, oh how solemn. Friend, do you now believe? See to it that you cry. You feel that you cannot believe. Oh, cry out, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Most holy one of mercy,